Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And let's start reading in verse number 16 tonight. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, I said a moment ago that the most difficult to discern error is the subtlest. And most of us, before we became Christians, had heard something about religion. I know I'd heard some things about religion. My grandmother used to teach me the Ten Commandments. I can remember that. She was a Methodist, an unsaved Methodist at the time. And she doubtless thought that it was by the keeping of the law that one was justified. And so most anybody in the United States of America has had some exposure to religion. And whether it's the so-called Christian religion or some other religion, there's practically no difference amongst them or between them. Can you name a significant difference between, let's say, the Catholic religion and the Buddhist religion? Now, if you've studied the matter closely, you can come up with a whole lot of stuff in a hurry. But when you consider what most people know about the Catholic religion and the Buddhist religion, what do most people think so far as their similarities? How could you trick somebody with a Christian background to convert to Buddhism? It happens. There must be something in that person that the idea of Buddhism satisfies, or they wouldn't waste their time, would they? When we use the word religion around here, how do we define it? Yes, religion is an attempt by man to reach out and find God. What is true Christianity? It is, but in view of what we said about all man-made religion, if all of the man-made religions are man's attempt to reach out and find God, what is Christianity? It's God's reaching out to find man. O Adam, where art thou? As if he didn't know. Absolutely. And in the end, all of the man-made religions end up worshiping a different God than the true God, which is who? Pardon? Yes, Satan is behind all of it. That is true. But there's something else that's involved, and it has something to do with Satan's promise to Eve. Yes, absolutely. All man-made religions deify man in the end, don't they? When you think of the Pharisees, what do you think about? What were the Pharisees all about? Well, Jesus pointed out the fact that they didn't keep it. They only paid lip service to it. Who are the Pharisees really worshiping? Themselves. And how did that come out? How do we know that? Oh yes, they were more righteous than the Sadducees, who were more righteous than the Herodians, who were more righteous than the publicans, who were more righteous than the Romans. They had all their little pigeonholes. They had a hierarchical system. Did it affect the disciples at all? Peter, James, and John, and the rest. Okay, why would you say yes? All you have to do is think about the Sunday school lesson a few days ago. Well, you're thinking about Thursday night now, and we're going to get there. You're thinking about this service. But what about the Sunday school service last Sunday morning? Sure. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, why would they have asked a question like that? We pointed out the fact that, you know, from their worldview and where they were coming from, it was a perfectly natural question to ask. Moses had his lieutenants and his counselors. David had his. Well, it seemed only right to them that Christ would have his as well. And, well, who's going to be number one? Who are they really worshiping? Of course, there wouldn't have been a strife amongst them otherwise. You see, it all comes up to the same thing. And what did we learn from that question on the part of the disciples? They had no understanding of what the kingdom of heaven was all about. They thought that the kingdom of heaven was something like the kingdoms of earth. And the Lord was slowly and patiently teaching them, no, it isn't anything like that at all. Whatever goes on earth is an abomination in heaven. You know, you can do that with almost any principle that you find in the world. If you turn it around exactly backwards, you'll probably have what the Bible says about it. Which is why men don't like to hear the Bible. That's why men don't like to search for God. They've already got one. And He is it. Well then, if almost everybody, could I be just bold and say, everybody before they know Christ, has that world view concerning religion, would you say that it would be easy if you approached a Christian on that ground of what he always thought was right before he was a Christian in order to trip him up? Of course, because he's not going to so much doubt what you say because his whole life experience backs it up. What are most Christians taught concerning Judaism? We speak of the Judeo-Christian ethic or the Judeo-Christian ethos or society. You hear it all the time. Okay. But what does that idea bring forth, the Judeo-Christian worldview? It tries to say that Judaism and Christianity are basically the same thing. And most people are pretty comfortable with that. Most people would say, well, yeah, of course Christianity is built on top of Judaism. But you know, like a lot of other things that people just know is true, it isn't. Not at all. Who is the most Jewish of the Jews that you find in the Bible? Yeah. Absolutely. When he hung out his shingle, no others need apply. Then Hebrew of the Hebrews. And what did he have to say about the Jewish religion? Pardon? Okay, yes. Mm-hmm. He even speaks of it derisively, the religion of the Jews. Do you suppose Paul would have given any credence to the idea of a Judeo-Christian ethic? Pause to let you think about this. What do you think Paul would have said if somebody came up to him and said, "You know, I'm really glad that the world has taken a serious look now at the Judeo-Christian tradition." Yeah, he'd have had a fit. He wouldn't have bought that for one instant. Why not? What is wrong with the idea of a Judeo-Christian ethic or religion or tradition or anything else where you mix Judeo and Christian? Yes, Judaism is darkness. What was it that put our blessed Lord on the cross of Calvary? Stop and think about this for a moment. The publicans and the harlots got mad because he started pointing them out. Yeah, no kidding. Who was it that put him to death? Was it a grassroots movement of publicans and harlots? It was the religion of the Jews that put him on the cross. It was the chief priests that stirred people up in the streets to say, "Away with him, we have no king but Caesar." And who was it that said to Pilate, "If you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend"? Who said that? Yeah, it was his spokesman. How many people do you think about that? When some scatterbrain starts talking about the Judeo-Christian tradition of the church. And how many people would rise up and say, "There's simpler ways to show us how stupid you are." What do you think Paul would have said? Yeah, calling them a moron and tell them to go start studying the Bible before they open their yap is really kind of a kind thing compared to saying, "Let them be accursed." I can't say it right now because we have a little one in here. But when people curse, you know what they say. GD this, GD that. Do you understand that that's exactly what Paul was saying? That's what "let them be accursed" means? The other thing is just a paraphrase of it, that's all. I'm pausing to let this sink in because I know this seems so weird. I never thought about that before. Well, you know, I hadn't either. None of us have. Because we grew up hearing this stuff. A lot of us heard it in churches. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm just particularly down on the Pope and the Buddhists tonight. So, yes. Well, brainwashing does kind of get a bad rap. It's pedagogy. Preachers engage in it all the time when they're telling the truth. You know, sometimes being brainwashed, if it washes out bad things, ain't a bad deal. But it's true. What Brother Bob says is true. We don't think about it because we expect to hear it. We expect to hear it. And we don't stop and think it through until somebody makes some rather pointed statements like I just made. Now, by the way, does disparaging the religion of the Jews or Judaism in any way disparage the Old Testament covenant? We're not talking about the Old Covenant. We're talking about the religion that the Jews built up on the Old Covenant, the one of which Jesus said, "This people draws near to me with their lips, but their hearts far from me, teaching for commandments the doctrines of men." That religion. We're in no way disparaging the Old Covenant. Not at all. Paul says the same thing. Is the law sin? No, we're sin. The law just points that out. But it's our enemy. It's not our friend. And so we get so comfortable with that, that sometimes when we read the book of Galatians, it doesn't sink in the gravity of what Paul is saying. It's revolutionary. It challenges us. How many times have you ever heard it's a whole lot harder to unlearn a bunch of wrong stuff that you learn so that you can relearn something the right way? Absolutely difficult. So difficult that we really don't want to tackle it. Nonetheless, every religious thought that we ever had, we'd be better off if we had never learned it and started out from the ground up with the truth. But is there a human being that's like that? No, everybody's been inculcated in some religion or another. So how much difference is there between the Baptist religion and Taoism? See, I'm trying to be fair and balanced here. Is there a Baptist religion? Of course there is. And it's getting further and further off the beam, isn't it? Absolutely. So this Galatian error is like the idea of a Judeo-Christian ethic. The idea is that the two have basically the same idea and came from a common source. No, they didn't. Unless you're talking about the Christian religion. Is Judaism and the Christian religion the same? Sure it is. Sure it is. Because all it is religion, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, why did Paul give us verse number 16 on through the end of the chapter, verse 21? What's happened before this that brought Paul to say these things? Now you can say it, Brother Kirby. Yes, Peter basically was headed for apostasy, from an apostle to an apostate. That's a serious statement, but it's true. And when most people read the book of Galatians, they read over this kind of lightly and they say, well, man, what got into Paul? He must have been having a bad hair day. Got up on the wrong side of the bed. What a curmudgeon. Getting after Peter just because he wanted to go over and eat with his buds that came down from Jerusalem. Peter hadn't committed a murder. Peter hadn't stolen anything. Peter hadn't borne false witness. He hadn't coveted his neighbor's wife. I mean, what's the deal here? Paul calls him out and makes him sound like he's the lowest form of a criminal, one step from an apostate. That's exactly what he was saying to the church. Judaism has some redeeming value, something that it could add to the work of Jesus Christ to make your salvation completer, more fuller. And I've got some other terms that maybe you haven't heard yet. Something that you can add to it to become a super Christian a Pharisee of Christians, a Puritan. Isn't that the idea? Isn't that what Peter was saying? Yes, indeed it is. Go back to Galatians 2:11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed or he stood condemned. Now the question should come up, condemned or to be blamed for what? Well, Paul explains it here. But what's the basic idea here? What was it that Peter had done that was so distasteful? And I keep bringing this up over and over in our study of Galatians so that we'll see this issue for what it really is. And last time we got together, I talked about transubstantiation. I talked about consubstantiation. Does anybody remember what those terms mean? Mm-hmm. And if you don't receive it, you're damned. And what is consubstantiation? I mean the Protestants being so much more theological. It's a means of transferring grace. They teach the same thing about baptism. It's a means of conferring the grace of God onto an individual. Now, there's one of two possibilities. Either it's true, or it's a lie of the devil straight out of the pits of hell. Because it deals with the salvation of a soul, doesn't it? And what does it do to the person and work of Christ? What does it say about that? Yes, when Jesus said that he had paid it all, he was lying. Something has to be added to it. We need baptism. We need the Lord's table. These are means to confer grace. You want to be abundant in grace? Well, then you have to believe Protestant doctrine or Catholic doctrine. So Jesus didn't really pay it all. And it's wrong on another front too. If baptism is a vehicle for the conveyance of grace to an individual, and that's a lie, and it is, what does it obfuscate? Or what does it hide? What does it occult? Yes, it is occultic, now that I think of it. It hides how grace truly is received, doesn't it? How is grace received? By faith. Yeah, bingo, that's it. And why does religion hate the idea of salvation by grace through faith? Because they lose their handle of control over you. They can set themselves up as the baptism station, the Lord's table station. They can garb out their priests or their ministers and say, we're the only ones that are authorized by heaven to give you these elements, and if you don't come to us, you can't receive the grace of God. Nice work if you can get it. That's what the Christian religion is, and that's what Peter is pointing out to these Christians at Antioch. Maybe there really is something. Maybe we all better get up and leave these barbecue pork ribs on this table and we'll go over here with the Jews and have some fish. And matzo balls. And Mogan David. Pardon? And goat. And Mogan David. The Baptist pass on the Mogan David. Can you see why this is so hard to understand and why people are so easily blindsided? I was myself for so many years. I was taught these things. Took a long time to figure this out. And it wasn't me that figured it out either, by the way. Do you realize that people are being taught this stuff every week from the pulpits of churches that say they're Christian? Galatianism is the poison that has most destroyed the church. It's done the most damage of any false doctrine. And that's why you find 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and then Galatians. You know, the independent Baptists at Corinth, they wouldn't have come to the Lord's table drunk. Now, their preacher might have run off with whatever woman was there. That wicked person that they should have put away, and then after he repented, they wouldn't let him back in. That one. It's so subtle, isn't it? We're always on our guard against the Arian heresy, and by the way, we should be. We're always concerned about the Masons and their false, pretend to be pseudo-Christian influence and teaching. And we should be. But the truth of the matter is Galatianism has infected all of the churches. And it's a leaven that little by little has leavened the whole lump. What is the basic foundational error of Catholicism? Let's stop and think about this for a moment. Let's see if we can boil it down. Most people would say, well, their church is full of idols, and so, you know, that's all you have to know about them. But what's their real problem? Why would this church suffer this Jezebel to come in and teach the servants of the Lord to eat things sacrificed to idols? What kind of a mindset at Thyatira would have permitted such a thing to happen if they were Christians? By the way, they had the book of Galatians in those days. What was Jezebel offering the servants of the Lord that they thought they needed, so they were takers? Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody go and sit down in a box next to a Catholic priest with a little curtain in between and tell him everything you did last week? Why would somebody do a thing like that? Pardon? Yeah, you can. But what are these servants of the Pope offering to Christians that they think they need, so they allowed that to come in? It's simple. It's just not easy to see. You know, the best place to hide something is in plain sight. Sort of. Aren't all those teachings, even the ones that Jezebel brought into the Catholic Church? And remember now, the scripture is very clear in the letter to the church at Thyatira that there were overcomers in that church. Jezebel wasn't hurting the lost people. They were already lost. All of the promises were to the overcomers. And you know, the book of Galatians isn't written to lost people. It's written to Christians. What was it that Jezebel was offering that they thought that they needed? She was offering to add something to the work of Christ that would make them better Christians, superannuated Christians. the Catholic that never misses a Mass, that never comes up one short on the rosary bead count, that does all of the things that are prescribed by their church. Do you suppose he sits in the pew and thinks he's a better Christian than some of the others? What has he actually done? He's turned it into a religion. Things he can add to the finished work of Christ to make himself a better Christian. And why does that sell? You know, one of the things that all the religions of the world kind of have in common, except the Muslim religion, is that they promote peace and goodwill and good morals. Do you hear the Buddhists running around and saying that you ought to steal from your friends and neighbors and lie and cheat? Don't they teach you not to do those things? What about Taoism? What about all the other religions of the world? Even Judaism, doesn't it teach you to be a good person? Doesn't teach you to be a bad person, teaches you to be a good person. Why? Well, and everybody in their heart wants to be a better person, don't they? How do you think all those self-improvement books sell? Everybody has an innate desire to want to be a better person. Christians are the same way. When a Christian gets saved, doesn't he have a zeal to want to please God and live for God and to be a better person? Of course he does. And so if somebody comes along and hands you away, well, if you'll do this and you'll do that, you'll be a better Christian. Wouldn't that sell? I don't know why somebody would want to get into a program that takes 40 days. Benny Hinn works instantly. But you see how Galatianism sells? The devil's lie. And it's so subtle. It's adding something to the finished work of Christ which tells Christ that what he did just wasn't good enough. Hate to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and tell him that, wouldn't you? Let's pray.